the bowl. Lindsay will wear her best sweatshirt.
And doesn't wipe her face anyway, so it's all good. We don't need napkins. Yeah, I like to make fun of them. They're pretty easy targets, though. Hey, as I thought about Thanksgiving, and, you know, in my life, I have a lot to be thankful for. So I had a wedding in August. I have a wedding in March. Two of the three will be no longer my issue. But out of the wedding in August, and it's been out there, so Chris and I are getting a new issue in May, and it's going to be about this big, and it'll be redheaded and freckled, and you know what, it'll be really cool. We're looking forward to being grandparents, and you know, we're looking forward to Shelby's wedding as well, and Morgan's doing what she does in school and working, and we're seeing the maturation process for her, and it's been good. But I have a lot of things to be thankful for. You know, this church family has grown so much, and Les and Jesse and I talked about that this week. Spiritually, this church has grown so much, and that's not anything that we have done. That's not anything. That's God at work. And we are so thankful that He has blessed this church with, you know, spiritually as well as other ways. But God's at work. Be thankful for that. Lastly, I have a couple things, other things. You know, Ohio State won yesterday. And they're going into Michigan week undefeated. Michigan's going in undefeated. But the skunk of a coach won't be there. And it's funny because there's so many people that say want him there. I don't want him there. I hope we beat him by 150. You know, Day said he'll hang 100 if he can. But he won't because he'll coach conservatively. But those are just little things that really mean nothing. But we were blessed in this community. You know, the Amish team won again Friday night. And they won big. They won 42-7 again. They played four playoff games. Sugar Creek Garaway, I'm talking about. They played four football playoff games. And they've had a running clock in every game. That's pretty impressive. So while we didn't want to get beat, we did get beat. But we had a heck of a year. We're moving on. We're moving on to basketball. But we got a couple here. The boys are here today. And, you know, I told them they were the Ketch brothers about 2 months ago, and they lived up to that. They each had great years. Now I'm going to call them the Crutch brothers because neither one can walk without crutches or a scooter. I got a picture this week. They were both on their little portable scooters at school, and it's kind of cool to see. Not cool because it hurt, but cool because, you know, they've accepted it. And I think there's a reason that happened. I'm not sure what it is, but I you know, Jackson thought he had turf toe. Bo was perfectly healthy. I think if Jackson hadn't have went to the podiatrist, he would have kept thinking it was turf toe, and he would have never been right. Now he's going to get healed. He would have taken probably 2 days off after football. Now he's going to take 4 weeks off or whatever it is. Going to get healthy. Bo's going to be off the same time. So when they come back for basketball, they're going to go from the Ketch brothers to the Crutch brothers to the Clutch brothers, because they're going to have their legs fresh and they're going to be ready to roll about mid-season when all that starts. I know Abby's getting ready to start this week, and Maisie and Ryan are getting ready to start this week, and the junior high kids, Brenna and Gabby, and oh, and Trevor and Isaac play as well. They're playing well. We have a lot going on. So we need to be thankful that we're able to witness our kids of this church go out into the community. I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, I know what the message you want me to put out there. And Lord, I just ask that you take my brain, you shut it down, and you just bring out what you want to be brought out in this message, and that you give the congregation ears to hear what you want them to hear and you need them to hear today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So the title of the message is Be Thankful, Developing a Grateful Heart. So many times we don't understand what thankfulness is. You know, sometimes when things are going so well, are we really thankful? Sometimes when things go so well and they continue to go well and everything falls into place, and do we really take the time to thank the one who gave it to us? I'm afraid, maybe it's just me, but when things are going so well, I think, yeah, Matt, you're doing pretty good. You're doing pretty good, Matt. And then something has to happen to bring me back down and make me realize who has given me the blessings that I have. So just like developing a grateful heart, that's not something we're born with, right? When we're an infant, we are given our daily milk or food or whatever it is. We're not always grateful. What do? When we're hungry, we cry, we whine, we throw a fit. Or when we're tired, we cry, we whine, we throw a fit. So we have to learn to be grateful. Just like any virtues that we have in our life, you're not instantly going to be thankful. You only become thankful when you habitually practice gratitude in your life. And that's a pretty cool statement on a lot of ways. But the only way you become thankful is by practice. You know, we have a lot of things to be thankful for, but we have to practice in order to fully be thankful. First Chronicles, and this isn't a passage I used today, but 1 Chronicles 16:34, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Now, there's some words in there that a couple that are understated, a couple that I'm not sure we really know what they mean. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." Man, good should be underlined in that, because that is the most understated word in the whole passage. You know, we go to sporting events and we say, "Oh man, these kids played great," or, you know, "LeBron James is great." But then we call our Lord good. Our Lord is great. "For His steadfast love endures forever." Steadfast. Anybody know what that means? I don't. I'm asking. Somebody give me some guidance. My interpretation of steadfast is it never, ever changes. It's always the same. It's always great. Okay? And forever, we know what that is. Everything good in your life comes from God. In James 1:17, we grow closer to God when we understand this truth and build our lives around it. So it doesn't say some things good in our lives. It says everything good in our life. And I'm going to change that even to everything in our life, period. Okay? Sometimes we like the good, we don't like the bad. Guess what? You got to be thankful for that bad too. Because it's teaching you something. It's growing you in a certain way. Developing these habits can help us become more thankful. And these habits that we're going to talk about today, there's 5 or 6 of them. Number one, regularly practice giving thanks. So I'm going to challenge you today, as we're into Thanksgiving, man, every day this week, I want you to practice giving thanks. Not just on Thursday. we all can do it on Thursday because we're all around family, and you know, some of us are driving 80 miles to go see family, some of us are staying home. We can all be thankful because we're surrounded with family. I challenge you to practice giving thanks every day. Why? Because it becomes a habit, and then it changes thinking. Imagine a time if you could go and you're having a disagreement at work, and instead of arguing with you, the person you're having a disagreement with says, "You know, I'm thankful for you." Does that change the whole tone? It does. It does. You know, last week we got at Coke, we got our thankfulness gifts for the year. And it's a $1 billion company, record profits for the year, and they gave us a gift card to Kroger. They gave us two cases of beverage, whatever it is, pop water, whatever. And then I got a Coca-Cola sweatshirt. You know, and I thought, man, you know, that's cool. But then when I got this sweatshirt, because the sweatshirt was a shock. The gift card and the pop I knew about, but the sweatshirt was kind of a shock. You know what I did? I wore it the next day to work because I was thankful. And I thought, you know, something simple like that, that applies to my Christianity as well, because God gives me so much. Let's go to Psalm 100. We're going to start there today. And I'm just going to give you a bunch of scriptures today that refer to Thanksgiving, some of which Jamie kind of already used one today that I'm going to use, and that's cool. Jen's message was, her devotion was perfectly tied in with what we're doing. Psalm 100. Shout to joy for the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Guys, if you can't get excited about that, I mean, this is the way I read. I pull out key words that stick in my mind, okay? And for me, that passage, number one, shout for joy to the Lord. We don't do that like we should. We don't do it. And I'm probably the worst, okay? Because I grumble about everything, and I make fun of people and whatever. I need to shout for joy to the Lord, because I am blessed. You know, I started a journey in April, a weight loss journey, but more it was about becoming healthy. And yes, I've lost some weight, but more importantly to me is I'm going to be able to shout for joy when that baby comes in May, or that wedding in March, or when Morgan graduates and gets a big girl job. She has a big girl job, but she's going to have a bigger girl job. I'm going to be able to shout for joy because I'm now healthy. Okay, I was on 5 different meds. I'm now on 1 water pill and an allergy pill. Guys, I was the epitome of bad health. There's no two ways around it. And I'm so thankful that God put people in my life, to give me that. You know, I have all the support in the world. Chris has been tremendous through it all. She actually does all my cooking. She's my executive chef. And we've changed the way we think, we've changed the way we eat. And it's just, it's been great. So I'm thankful for that, because now I'm going to be around for, I don't know, another 50 or 60 years, hopefully, so I can burden my kids when I'm old. I'm teasing. But that's their job. That's their job, and they got to be thankful for that, too. We have three jobs in our house for our kids. I'm going to live with Shelby. Lindsay's my financial, and Morgan's my diaper changer. Okay? And I'm thankful they each have their role, and they know it. But we got to regularly give thanks. When you see something good in your life, point it out to God. He knows it. He knows it. But point it out. Thank Him for that. Thank God for it. We all complain occasionally, but practice responding to your own complaining by finding things to be thankful for. So much like I had to go through a food obsession love mindset change, we have to go through a mindset change with how we become thankful. Because now, instead of complaining about it, we need to find things in our lives that we're thankful for. Number two, express gratitude regardless of the situations. Paul tells the Thessalonians to give thanks in all circumstances because God wills it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let's go there. I got it marked. And we're going to read 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Okay, again, those are big words. Rejoice always. It's not always easy to rejoice. Pray continuously. Give thanks in all circumstances. Okay? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Why do we need to do that? Because sometimes as Christians, we never see the full picture. We never remember. We don't understand why. I'll use Jackson Bow. We don't understand why God's laying them off basketball for now. We don't understand it, right? My contention is they may have been a little bit dinged up before that game because they played 13 games. If they jump right into basketball, they're never going to heal. And they're going to be healthy when that's huge. So we need to be thankful for that. I know Bo and Jackson still aren't super thankful for that, but it is something part of God's plan, and it's going to make them better young men when they come out of it. We never see the full picture. We can't look at every situation and clearly understand why it's happening. And we've all had that situation in our lives where we look at something and we say, man, I know God's in charge, but what good's coming out of this? You know, Jenny's going through it right now. And she's upstairs. But she's going through it. And her and I talked last week, and she said, Matt, I know God's in charge. I just don't like His timing. Right? We have to be thankful in every situation. We can only know that God is at work in these situations and working them out for our good and His glory. At the end of the day, God wants what's best for us. But we need to give God all the praise and glory for everything we have. Even the bad stuff. Regardless of what is happening, we can thank God for His presence. Because you understand, even when you're going through the lowest of times you could ever have, and we've all been there, God is still right there. God is still right there. You know, we think his timing's not perfect. I guarantee you his timing is perfect for the betterment of his kingdom. And at the end of the day, that's what we want. So he is sustaining us through it all. And I don't get into reading a bunch of different stuff, but I found this quote and it says, what God is, we rise above the situation when we purposely look for what God is doing in the middle of every situation. A.W. Tozer says, perhaps it takes a purer faith to praise God for unrealized blessings than for those we once enjoyed or those we enjoy now. Guys, if you have a situation in your life that's maybe not what you thought, maybe it's not the way you worked it out in your grand plan, praise God for that. You know why? Because He is working in that situation. He is in charge in that situation. And if everything's just rainbows and butterfly poop all the time, do we ever get to grow our faith? No, so be thankful. Number three, praise God when all is well. Now, I've already talked about that. We kind of go into, man, how good we're doing. But we need to praise God when everything is going well. Let's go to Isaiah 12, 45. Sorry, Isaiah 12, 4 and 5. Julie, I did it again. When I sent her all the passages, I said 12:45, and she messaged me back and said, are you sure? So it says, in that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name, make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim that His name is exalted. Verse 5, sing to the Lord, for He has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. And again, it brings out, sing for joy. Shout His praises. Guys, I was singing for joy today, and Chris tugs on my shirt, says, will you not sing? You're terrible. I said, I know, but I'm singing for joy. I know I can't sing. Okay? Julie said I was really good. I'm not good. But praise God in all situations and shout for joy because He is going to deliver you from it. That's pretty cool. I think it's number four. Learn to see how bad experiences can produce good outcomes. We should all take some time to consider the benefits of difficult times in our lives. After a period away from the situation, we should be able to see the good that came out of those experiences. Often you'll be able to see how those bad experiences helped you gather strength and momentum for future blessings in your life. And I think I've shared before, I went to college and I talked with Alan, I talked with Owen today, and I went to college and, man, I was going to be a teacher, right? I didn't care what it was. I just wanted to be a teacher. Phys ed, home ec, it didn't matter to me. I didn't care. I wanted to be a teacher. Why? Because I wanted to have 3 months off every year. I'm being truthful and honest here. It wasn't really about educating the kids at that point when I was 18 years old. It was about, man, I want to work 9 months a year and have every summer off. I got about 2 semesters in, and God said, you know what? I'm not sure I want you to be a teacher. And I wrestled with God about that. Wrestled hard. I said, but God, I want to coach, and God, I want to do this, and God, I want to do that, and God, I want to have my three months off every year. And I loathed and self-pitied over that for a while. Number one, when I graduated, my uncle came to me and said, Matt, I know you want to go into teaching. He said, but I'm going to urge you to go into mathematics or computers. At that point, computers were not really, I knew nothing about them, still don't know much. I know how to screw them up. But math, I thought, oh, well, math, be a math teacher, that'd be pretty cool. Right? So I took my entrance test, and I had had Algebra 2 at Northmore. That was the highest class we had offered at that point. I tested into calculus. Little did I know, I should have bombed the entrance test, and I could have taken college algebra, and it would have counted towards my degree. But instead, I had to start in Calculus 1. I didn't have any pre-calculus. You know what I got that first semester? D. So I had to retake it. Not good. So at the end of that, I was like, okay, God, what are you trying to tell me here? And I should have listened, Matt, I want you to be a phys ed teacher. That's the coolest job in the world. off 3 months a year, and to get to teach kids how to play kickball and dodgeball. What better? But you know what? God opened up other doors, and he allowed me to get married, and he allowed me to get into management and retail. And by the time I was going to head through my last 3 semesters at school, I had a job I made. I was going to take like a $15,000 pay cut to be a school teacher. So, okay, God, you don't want me to have summers off. I get it. Okay, so God blessed me in that situation. He could have turned his back on me because I was not very good. But he didn't. He opened up other doors. So even in our bad experiences, he's at work. We got to recognize him. Let's go back to Psalms 107. And I have verse 1, but we're going to read 1, 2, and 3. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those who he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, and from north and south. Guys, what's that say? It says, man, give thanks to the Lord, and you guys that I've done something for in your life, go tell the world about it. Now, you're going to notice a theme here. We should be shouting. We should be going out from north to south and east to west and telling the world. There's nobody that we should not be talking to Jesus about. Okay? That's the end of that. Number 5, make gratitude a part of your interactions with other people. And this is a hard one. This is a hard one. Because I don't know about you all, but some of the people I deal with are just stupid. And I'm talking about myself. Okay? I'm a lunkhead. Gratitude should impact both our relationship with God and the relationships with other people. Rick Warren, we all know he wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, says, to appreciate means to raise in value. That's not only true of things, it's true of people. When you appreciate somebody, you literally raise their value. We ought to appreciate people because it increases their self-worth. Make it a regular practice to say thank you to the people in your life. Often the people we express gratitude with the least in our lives are the closest one to us. Now that blows my mind. You mean to tell me that as Christians, the people we express gratitude the least amount to are the people we have the most interaction with? What does that say about us? What's that say about us? Psalm 7, verse chapter 7. It's a great verse. And it ties right into where we're going to, right here with this. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will give thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. Guys, that is who we should be spending our most time with. Are we showing Him the most gratitude that we have? You know, we all spend a lot of time with our families, but I'd almost bet. Anybody tell their spouse thank you this morning? Or show them some sort of gratitude this morning? How about your kids? Kids, did you tell your parents thank you this morning? Guys, those are the people we spend the most time with. And I guarantee you, and I'm speaking for myself, my wife did something for me today that I took for granted. Okay? Or my Julie, or my Jesse, or my Doug, or my Lindsay and Morgan said, you know you can see that shirt right through your shirt? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I was listening to my Shannon who texted me this morning and said, wear your shirt today. Okay? Thank you all for telling me. I am expressing my gratitude to you. I didn't know I could see that when I looked in the mirror. Thank you. Psalm 28:7. Here's why we need to express our gratitude and our thankfulness. Because, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and He helps me. My heart leaps for joy and with my song I praise Him. Why should we be thankful for everything God gives us? Right there. The Lord is my strength and my shield. You know what that means? It means God protects you from a lot of stuff. But you know what else it means? It means He gives you the strength to get through the stuff He lets through the cracks, through the shield. You got to lean on Him. You got to be thankful for Him, and you got to trust Him. And point number 6, lean into the strength that gratitude provides. So as we become more thankful and show more gratitude, do we understand it not only increases people's value that we come in contact with as we express gratitude, but it also increases our strength in the way people see us as Christians. I've known many people throughout some extremely tough situations. And you know, sometimes when people are going through tough situations, we look at the way they respond and we say, you know, that dude is crazy. He's going through all this and he's still praising God. Guys, that's our chance to be an example. That's our chance to shout from the mountaintops what our Lord and Savior has done for us. Not only when we go through good times, but when we go through bad. He will provide you the strength and the shield that you need. I like this last one. Thanksgiving is a superpower. It enables us to see past our experiences and embrace how God is moving. Not only are thankful people able to draw strength from gratitude, but they're also able to empower others with their perspective as well. So guys, when you go out this week and you express thankfulness, understand it's going to make an impact. Understand. You know, when you're able to get out of bed in the morning, because it's that time of year, right? Jesse, maybe you can attest. Every night, as we're getting ready for bed, Chris is longingly looking out our back window. He said, man, I'd like to have fog delay tomorrow. I really use a fog delay tomorrow, man. I said, you're out of your mind. It's clear as clear can be. But then you know what? She gets up in the morning. She's the same magnetic personality, bouncy. It drives me crazy. We've talked about this before. Chris gets out of bed in the morning. She's like, she goes 0 to 100. I get out and I go 0 to negative 50 when I get out of bed. Because I complain about everything. Man, the floor's cold. Man, my water was too hot in the shower. Man, I'm tired. Not Chris. She's got fifth cup of coffee and she's happy, happy, happy. I got to be more like that. I usually warm up about 8 o'clock in the morning. I usually warm up when I'm at my second or third stop, and then people are like, hey, he's crazy. But guys, we need to express our gratitude every single day, every single moment, and realize that everything we have is God-given. A couple more verses we're going to use today. Philippians 4, and we're going to read 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And here's what happens in verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If we have a thankful heart, doesn't matter what else goes on in our life, what else goes on in our day, if we can learn to be thankful, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He doesn't guard your heart and mind in Coca-Cola World or in NFL or in NBA or in NCAA. He guards your life in Christ Jesus. That's undefeated. That's undefeated. That is why we need to have a heart of thanksgiving. Okay? Lastly, I'm going to leave you with this. Colossians 3. And a lot of these verses are all repetitive, but I think it's important we hear it time and time again so we understand how we need to live as Christians. Verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were all called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Guys, I don't care how good of a singer you are. If you sing to God with gratitude in your heart, and you go out and you sell Coca-Cola this week with gratitude in your heart, or you go out and you teach kids this week with gratitude in your heart, or you go out and you build houses this week with gratitude in your heart, you're going to have a much better week. He's going to use His shield to protect you. He's going to give you more things to be thankful for. So as we close this morning, that's my challenge to you, is to not only this week, this is not just a Thanksgiving message, we need to be more thankful. We need to be more cognizant of what God has done for us, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. We need to shout to everybody that will listen, and even those that won't. You know, we were at a, I'll close with this. We were at a stop sign the other day in Mansfield, And two cars behind me, I see this guy's air freshener just blowing, thumping. And I hear this bass in his car, and it was thumping. It hurt my ears. I was two cars removed. I don't know how he could do that. But that's my vision of what we need to be as Christians. We need to shout it from the mountaintops. Because even then, people that aren't listening or aren't in your life in general are going to hear it. That bass was miserable. I had a headache, two cars removed. But then I apply that to my Christianity. And am I bold like that in my Christianity? Do I shout my thanksgiving? Not always. Not always. That's our challenge this week. Shout your thanksgiving. Be thankful for every situation you're in, because know that God's going to get you through it. But shout your thanksgiving about it. You know, as we are going to Thanksgiving and we'll spend that day with family and whatever, be super real cognizant. Know what's going on in your life. Take an appraisal before then and really know what you need to be thankful for. I guarantee when we start looking for things we got to be thankful for instead of things we don't like about our lives, God's going to open up other doors. So be thankful. Work on your thankful heart. The only way to do that is practice. Habitual practice, I think it said. Okay, when we do that, we're going to be ready to go out and face the world. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for everything you bring to us, everything you do for us, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. Lord, we know that you are our shield. We know that your hand is on our lives. And we know that you are the one that's going to pick us up and carry us through every situation we're in, Lord. Lord, just let us remember every day of our lives how much we have to be thankful for. And give us great hearts that we realize everything you do. In your name we pray. Amen. So there'll be a time here where I have a praise or a song of invitation. And if you don't know some of that gratefulness I'm talking about, or you don't know some of that being thankful for everything or shouting it from the mountaintop, and you want to start that relationship today, today's your day. Man, there's no better day than thinking.